Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, January 7th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 69, that third paragraph, whatever our ideal turns out to be, through one paragraph ending, the right answer will come if we want it. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P. 12 Traditions, Lilan P. Readers of the text, Joan Marie M., Anne S.C.H., and Vanessa G. The reference number for Monday, January 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,055. That's 22055. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,057. That's 22057. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Diane B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of those to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Lilan P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Lilan P., recovering compulsive overeater from Berlin, Germany. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in a group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lilan P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 69, the third paragraph, whatever our ideal turns out to be. Through one paragraph ending, the right answer will come if we want it, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Joan Marie M. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Am I being heard?
You sure are.
Oh, great. Thank you. Whatever our dear turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem in meditation. We ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. Okay, so, you know, I'm an old-timer that's been around for quite a while, and it's still not easy for me to share. And in this particular paragraph, there's two words that I always have trouble pronouncing. So anyway, okay, this is our textbook. How do we do it? Do what? Have neutrality around the food. I call that freedom from the obsession of the mind. In this paragraph, there are two musts. I don't know of any other place in the Big Book where it says must, to my knowledge anyway, but here it does for sure. I had to let higher power look deep inside of me. I had to ask God to reveal anything that I can't see, whether it's an attitude, a character defect in order, and then in order to get well, Okay, so it's a spiritual disease as well as physical. The big book says we have entered the realm of the spirit. That's a capital S. And we need, and I still need it, to grow there every single day in every way. Because the big book says we only know a little. Every day I have to grow closer to God, and God is the most important thing in my life, a conscious awareness of God. And that way I'm always asking and praying and listening for instructions. I had a long list of sexual conduct, but through the grace of God, I admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrong. And what helps me to stay free is a nightly review of my conduct all through the day. And the last sentence says, the right answer will come if we want it. Today, I want it. It's the only way to live from this, free from this merciless disease. And I'm willing today, in every area of my life, I'm willing to allow God, my higher power, a power greater than myself, to reveal things to me. This morning, I got a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was something about a sales, and I got so rattled up, and I had to say, oh, God, you know. So it's a learning process, and no one, I'm not perfect, and no one's
time.
Perfect. And we, thank you, Dawn. And it's just in time because my dog is acting up, my puppy. All right. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Amy K. in
SMG.
Virginia.
Amy K.
SMG.
Bonnie B.
And I'm missing that second name. Somebody G?
Susan.
Oh, Susan. Susan G?
No. Thank you, Dawn.
All right. Amy K., I think Susan G., and who else?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Lisa M.
Lisa M.
S.
Barbara S. Anyone else?
Julie P.
Julie P.
Janice K.
Janice K. Well, that is a fantastic lineup. I have Amy K., Susan G., Bonnie B., Lisa M., Barbara S., Julie P., and Janice K. Did I miss anyone there? Okay, let's go ahead. Amy K., please get us started, followed by Susan G., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amy Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. This paragraph refers to the question that gets asked above it, where were we at fault and what should we have done instead? That's where I get my sex ideal. I've listened to a lot of people talk about their sex ideal as if it's the wish list for the next person that they're going to be with, and I don't get to go to God with a wish list. I go to God with a question. About what my conduct is going to be, because what I've done in the past doesn't work. And when I'm at this point, I'm coming up to the last part of step four, I've gotten out from behind the food containers, and I'm fully looking at the bondage of self. I'm not looking at why I'm blocked from God by food anymore. I'm looking at why I'm blocked from God, from others, and from my true self by my behaviors And I find out about that in resentment inventory and fear inventory and now in the sex inventory. And a lot of people share about what, you know, they're not sexually active, they're not promiscuous, or they're sexually anorexic, and maybe this doesn't really apply, but it applies to everyone because what we're talking about is love. This is talking about how I have spent a lifetime looking for love in the wrong places and how I have spent a lifetime craving intimacy more than anything else, and that I have also tried to avoid intimacy more than anything else, because I'm absolutely sure that if you really get to see me, not just my naked flesh, but my naked soul, that you're certainly going to reject me. So I have all these strategies in place to protect myself. I have all these beliefs in place about love and about intimacy that hopefully I've gotten a look at in resentment inventory. When I'm categorizing that false system of belief, the belief that I can only be loved if I'm healthy, I can only be loved if I'm a certain way, that God needs me to be perfect, that you need me to be perfect, that not only do I play God and decide who you should be and what role you should play, I also make gods out of you, and I use you as a higher power and take my value from you. So this is a place where I find out that although a healthy sexuality creates an obvious container for intimacy, there's so much more in this adventure of intimacy, of love, of sex, and that intimacy at its base means into me, I see. And that's what this inventory is all about. Not finding out who I really am, but finding out who I am not. Taking an inventory of the things I've done in the absence of knowing that God loves me, will heal me, and will provide for all of my needs, and the trouble I've gotten myself into by making you be the thing or the person that satisfies those needs. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Amy K. from Virginia. Susan G., it's your turn to share, Bonnie B.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you, Jo Marie, for getting us started and everyone else who is of service this month. Thank you, thank you. Whatever my ideals turn out to be, I have to be willing to grow towards them, and I have to constantly be evolving and going. So what I wrote down 25 years ago looks very, very different to what it is today, and have I fallen short, whether it be my ideals of sex, other people's food plans, their politics, whatever it is, I have to keep on giving it to God, because the more I give to God, the freer I am. And do I stumble along the way? Absolutely. And it says, I must be willing to make amends. And as we know, we make them promptly. We take care of things. I can't come back to me, myself, and I and decide, well, was it that bad? They really did that. I'm not quite sure. No, I can't be doing that, because then I really will fall short. And my mind is so powerful, it would start to take over in other areas. And so constantly asking God what I should do about each specific matter, and not just glossing over, because I would love to do that. I would just like to give you an overview, which is mainly about your behavior and not about mine. And I can say that having done several inventories, this really does change and evolve, and you get to see who God really wants you to be. Because my ideals were just get thin, do this, do that, get the guy, look like a Disney princess. It doesn't work that way, not for somebody like me anyway. And I know for sure that the right answer always comes when I do the work and when I want it. And like it tells us later on in the book, it works, it really does. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Bonnie B., it's your turn, followed by Lisa M. Star one, Bonnie.
So sorry I was talking, but not. Thank you, everyone, for your share so far, and thank you, Don, for moderating. Bonnie B. is gratefully recovered today, living in the gift. So much of what I had on my heart was shared, but, I'll just dive down a little bit. I love where it says, whatever our ideals turn out to be. I underline the word whatever, because as someone just stated, it changes. It has changed. I came into the program with a list, a long list, and it's what I wanted to look like, and that's what I thought the requirements were to get me there, and all of that was outside in stuff. This program for me has always been, as far as the growth goes, inside out. I have to be willing, I must be willing to grow toward whatever it is that God drops into my heart. I can't look left, I can't look right, I can't ask anyone else, what's your ideal? What do you think? Because I set myself up and I set them up to fail because I'm not their God and they're not mine. But if I'm working my program and the food is down, God's going to drop into my heart if I've missed him. And it's not going to be a baseball bat, a little baseball bat that puts me in a closet that makes me feel like I've just blown it completely. It's going to be a still small voice. It's going to be that check on the inside. And then I have to be willing to make amends if necessary. And then again, ask God to change me in a way that only he can change me, because I can't bring about the change. I've tried. It has to be an inside out thing. But I think the biggest thing for me is the willingness. God doesn't want my list. He never wanted my list. That was me living in bondage. He wants my heart. And when the food is down and I go to him, he shows up. And then I have a choice. Again, and sometimes the execution is there than other times, and that's why I have the step work, right? But I must be willing to make amends if I have made them, and I must be willing to grow toward whatever the ideal is that God gives me. And then the very last sentence, what a gift. The right answer will come if we want it. And again, someone else's answer might not be my answer because I might not be in the same spot. But man, what a beautiful, beautiful program to know that God's going to meet me exactly where I'm at, and where I'm at is where I'm at, and he's aware of that, and he's loving where I'm at, and I will grow and I will change if I continue to yield myself to him as he speaks. Thank you so much for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Bonnie. Did you want to let us know where you're calling from so people could look you up in the member list?
I'm so sorry. Yep, from Fort Myers, Florida, Eastern. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Lisa M., your turn to share, followed by Barbara S.
Hi, I'm Lisa M. May I be heard okay?
You sure can.
Okay, thank you. Lisa M. from Virginia. Thanks, everybody, for doing service here at this meeting. And I want to hone in, too, on the whatever our ideal. And I looked up the word ideal. You know, it's a standard of perfection, of excellence, and it's a goal. And, you know, we must be willing to grow towards that ideal, that perfection, that state of perfection, that state of excellence, that goal. And that makes me know that I am not there. And, you know, whatever ideal state of perfection that God wants me to be, or I want myself to be, it's just that. It's a goal that I'm striving towards every single day. And it's not that I am beating myself up if I don't hit that goal, but that's the direction in which I'm going. And that was comforting to me, because to set these ideals for me on paper, and because it is a state of perfection, and knowing I will never reach a state of perfection, truly being perfect, it was just a little disheartening. But, you know, just willing to grow towards those lines, so becoming better and better, a better and better version of me as I show up in relationships. For me, not just the intimate one or the sexual ones, but relationships and life in general. As I show up, am I showing up, you know, God helping me to show up as a better version of myself, regardless of the other person, regardless of what their, you know, things are, but how am I showing up? How do I want to bring me, a better version of me, to the table? How does God want me to show up? So, yeah, that's what stuck out to me with this reading. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lisa M. from Virginia. Quick reminder, we're on page 69, talking about that third paragraph. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, through one paragraph ending, the right answer will come if we want it. So, Barbara S., it's your turn to share, followed by Julie P.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good. I'm Barbara S. from New York. My ideal, I don't know if I've ever reached my ideal. I know what it is, a closeness with another person. I have children. I have a partner that I'm with for years. I have a certain closeness, but there's like a safety net so I don't get hurt. As a child, I lost family, very strong, a very traumatic loss I had. And I think I just have this safety net, and it's not going to help. It's not going to make no loss. I think I should do a two-way prayer, because when I do a two-way prayer, God tells me not to be afraid because I'm wasting time. I am able to be close with my children and my partner, but I think that I have set up some sort of invisible screen that they may see as well. We're close, but not, I don't know, this is all in my head, but as far as God, I see what God is my higher self, my healthier part. There's my higher self, my lower self, there's something in between. Right now, I'm in between and closer to my higher self. It makes sense to me, and I guess I have to work on it. Having this shield is a waste of time. I'm pretty much a senior now, and I don't know how much time I have. Well, I could have another 20 years, or I could have another year or another day, but I'm glad to hear everybody's faith and belief in God. That helps me. It gives me motivation. So thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara S. from New York. Julie P., it's your turn to share, followed by Janice K., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am from Minnesota, but currently enjoying the weather down in southern Texas. I am a compulsive overeater, and thank you, everybody, for your shares and for your service. Your willingness to be open about the topic of sex really helps me. This is an area that has always been a struggle for me. I grew up in a very not talk about it Lutheran Scandinavian home, where the only thing I learned about a woman's body and sex was in a classroom. And it has been a struggle for me my entire life to talk about it, especially with my husband. I am very shy when it comes to this. Very, yeah. And I know that how do I conduct myself? If I truly am working this program the way that we are required in order to keep the food down, I need to also surrender this to God. I don't get to pick and choose whether I'm going to give him my hurts for the day or what are my plans and designs, all those things. I also need to turn this area over. And for me, it's been even challenging after I've hit menopause. I don't want to have sex. I don't want anything to do with it, and I know that's not the right answer either, because I do have a husband who has needs. And thank you all for listening. This is about as much as I've talked about it to anybody, but I know that if I do my meditation and ask God what he would want, the right answer will come if I'm willing. And that's the question. Am I willing? Today I am. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. Janice K., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take some more names.
Okay, I hope I'm off. Hope I'm unmuted. Okay, this is Janice K. in Oregon. And this paragraph, well, it starts off in step four, spins us out to step nine immediately, and when it ends up, we're all the way up on 12, seeking God's will and doing it. So it's like, wow, what a cool paragraph. My attitudes, when I think about it, and I have, my attitude toward sex reflects my attitude toward the world. The same selfishness, the same fears, the same walls, the same protections that I put up with a sex partner, with my spouse, I put up for the world, too. A little different coloring, but they were there. So it deals with how I deal with people in general. And the sex/harms inventory I like to use with sponsees starts with column one, who have I hurt? Oh my God, who have I hurt? If I've known you for a long time, chances are there may be some problems there. Who have I hurt and how do I undo that harm? Okay, right there, we're up to step nine and we're working on the hardest of the amends, which is the living amend, and it's hard because it's every day. What should I do? Who should I be? Well, I don't know. That's what the trudge is about. I ask God what I should do in each specific matter of my life. The answer will come if I wait for it. So there's a lot here. There's, you know, it's kind of the heart of the program. Who have I hurt? How have I hurt them? How do I undo the harm? And by undoing the harm I've done them, I repair the damage I've done myself. And ultimately, it's about trudging through life with my higher power, finding that higher power, and then just going through life together. So, thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Well, we have had some fantastic shares already, but it's now time for me to take a list of the names of people who would like to also share on this paragraph. And we're talking about page 69, that third paragraph, whatever our ideal turns out to be, through one paragraph ending, the right answer will come if we want it. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. And there was another voice in there that I missed.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. Thank you. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Nick F.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. All right, we'll go ahead and take those names. I have Wendy M., Annabelle Z., Nick F., and Jordan L. Wendy M., your 3 minutes starts now.
Great. Hi, Dawn. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. So I like to look good. I like to get you guys to think I'm good to go. You know, I really have all of this down, and these words really don't apply to me. Well, I don't want to share on this stuff, and I have to share on this stuff, right? Like, so what do I mean by that? So I have made men my higher power, and that obviously has gotten me into trouble because then they have to be a certain way for my insides to be okay. And if they're not a certain way in the past, I have thrown fits. Absolutely, 100%. That's how it works when you make somebody your higher power. And nothing they can do is going to be good enough. So I've done a lot of harm. I've also made a lot of amends. And one of the most important amends really is a living amends. Somebody came by my house who I was involved with for 2.5 years. And my response was to have no response. That's a living amends. We no longer participate in the behavior that is unkind beyond. And so yesterday, I want to tell you this. Yesterday, a sponsor in another program said, oh, you're going on a date tonight. Why are you dating? What are you trying to get out of dating? And I was like, well, I don't know, like a partner, somebody to do fun stuff with, someone, you know, to be physically intimate with. And she said, no. Why are you on a date? And I paused and she said, how does God want you to be? And everything changed in the conversation. I said, oh, how do I want to be? Why am I dating? So I can be kind, considerate, humble, responsible, accountable. And the minute I said those words, which are the ideals, everything changed. I no longer needed to get something from the date that I had last night. Instead, I got to be humble, kind, considerate, interested, right? And the minute we get to be in those ideals, I get God. The man across the table does not have to be God because I'm already in God's flow. I'm in God's presence. That's what it means to be in these ideals. Everything changes for all of us when we shift to what can I get to how can I be? And I'm telling you, the minute I was like, I'll be humble. I can be humble. I could be kind. I could be considerate. I could be thoughtful. Everything that's not inconsiderate, selfish, and dishonest. But it is so exciting, so empowering, because you're in God's flow. The minute we're in the ideals, we are in God's world. And the power that we have is phenomenal. And the need to make other people do and be a certain way for us just evaporates. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Annabelle Z., it's your turn to share, followed by Nick F., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I am a compulsive overeater in Washington State. And wow, what amazing shares. I just want to say thank you to everyone who shared and to the person who opened to just be vulnerable. You know, this is tough stuff to talk about. I love this paragraph because it helps me have the right focus, like the previous person was sharing. The focus is on how God would have me be. When I did a four-step on this and did my sex ideal, it started out with what I did wrong. In every relationship, I was dishonest. I was just trying to get mine. I was just trying to get attention. I did, even I got really specific. Like I would use my sexual prowess or whatever you call it, my sexuality to attract men, but then repel them. It was just really hurtful, you know? So there was a lot of who did I hurt and how did I hurt them? So my sex ideal was the opposite. That's what my sponsor taught me to do, is just say whatever you did in each one of those situations that was harmful, whether I aroused jealousy or bitterness or whether I hurt them in any way, the opposite is my sex ideal. So what I wrote out was, in the future, I will be honest before I go on a date. Do I really want to go out with this person, or is it just about me? In the future, I will, you know, keep my, basically not be selfish, right? So that's one thing that I really got out of the sex ideal, because I've been married for 25 years. So my sex ideal today is to, like someone else shared, is to be there for my husband as an act of service. I use this ideal as well. My sponsors in OA, two different sponsors I've had, I've gone through this to how it deals with relationships in general. How can I be an ideal worker, an ideal mother, an ideal sister, an ideal daughter? And so about intimacy and honesty in all of those relationships. It's just been an amazing guide. So if anyone's out there going, this sounds way too scary, it's actually really intensely life-changing, because it's how I deal with other people, whether or not I'm stressed and want to eat because of it. It's usually because of other people. So if I'm right with God, if I'm right with others, I don't want to eat because I'm at peace. I guess that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Annabel Z from Washington. Nick F., it's your turn to share, followed by Jordan L. Star one, Nick.
Come on, family. This is Nick F., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. It says, in other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. And for me, how I live my life today, I get to say, dear God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about this for a new experience and an open mind with you. You know, just whatever my ideas turn out to be, I must be willing to grow toward it. Y'all, I'm a real junkie. I'm a real addict. 3.5 years ago, I couldn't even fix my plate. And now I get to graduate on to have ideas about how I get to show up in life, and particularly this sex idea. And you know, it's things in my past that I wouldn't dare talk about on this line. And God says I don't have to. I just get to tell him, myself, and to my own self, be true, and that's good enough. And I thank God for that. But in learning how to fix a plate in the last couple of years, you know, some ideas I have is that I want to be in a safe situation. I want to be protected, authentic, transparent, and vulnerable. And also, given that some of the shares in the last couple of seconds made me want to take my name off the list. I said, well, damn, that's pretty good. I don't know if I got anything to share like that, but I get to be real today, you know. And in being real, what I do know is that my ideas about sex, how I behave sexually, affect at least 2 to 4 other people. That's my 2 kids. My 13 and my 18-year-old is still in high school, so he's still under my watch and under my care. And then that's my parents, who I know love me to death, to pieces, have given everything for me to have the life that I get to live today. So how I show up affects 2 to 4 other people. And then, you know, this is just real serious. You know, I think about my friends and family who, you know, who have these other addictions. But to me, food took it all. This is the most serious. I say, don't sleep on this disease. I can't sleep on this disease. It's serious. One of my fellows is even talking about a street cred. You know, we're talking about cupcakes. Who want to get their ass whipped by cupcakes? It ain't a matter of whether I want to or not. This is my reality. I've got a disease that will kill me if I let up on it. So I get to have these different ideas about how I get to live my life today. And again, I say, God, please help me set aside everything I think I know, because that's part of my problem. I think I know so damn much. And come to find out, I get to live life on life terms. And I thank you, Don, for your service. Thank you, everybody on the line. Thanks for letting me share with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. Jordan L., it's your turn to share.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you for moderating for us. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And I agree completely with the last share. Man, the shares this morning have been really amazing. And on a topic that most of us find pretty hard to talk about when we get here. Affects every single one of us. Like we kind of have to find a way to talk about it or navigate through it address it, you know, every single one of us. has a body and a relationship with that body, and it's like an avenue to our higher power, you know? So it's gotta be addressed. It's gotta be something that we look at. And I was just gonna say, I like the language in this paragraph a lot. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, because it is, it's different for each one of us. And not only that, I've done quite a few sex inventories now over the years. My personal ideal has changed. The first inventory I did, I was 21 years old, and the ideal that I had at that point in my life was very different than the ideal that I have today. I turned 36 here in a couple of days. Very different, you know? This language about we treat sex as we would any other problem, it can become something that we're comfortable addressing, you know. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. We have the help that we need to start looking at this stuff honestly. Open-mindedly, and with some willingness to do whatever we need to do, because the right answer will come if we want it, you know. We'll get the answers, the tools, whatever it is we need to take that next step forward. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. We have a time for a minute share. If there is someone who would like to share for a minute, who hasn't shared.
Diane B.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Diane.
Good morning, everyone.
One minute share.
Thanks, Dawn. Okay, this is Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. And everybody has said such wonderful things today, so there's really not a lot I can add, except that when I did my steps with my current sponsor, the first time around, she made it clear to me that this is not just for sex, this is for relationships in general. And it really helped me with my mother in her last days of her life. It's continuing to help me with my sister. And, you know, I've been widowed for 18 years and I've been on the dating websites and I hated it, but I did meet someone. And it's because of this, of being able to write out what my ideals are, not just for sex, but for relationship, that this is working out. Like, I am like really happy, and this has been really working out for me. It is so important. And again, you know, I ask God, my higher power, what it wants me to be, not what to do, but what to be. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Do you want to let us know what state you're calling from so people could find you?
Oh, the frozen state of New York.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just extra special. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne S.C.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God, to him, and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.